Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune, and we'll look back before we look forward because there's plenty to talk about from both this upcoming game but also last week's game. So let's start with that 21-17 loss to Kentucky. Where to begin?
I guess the main thing that I noticed was just, you know, usually 50-50 plays, you get about half of them.
Right.
And every single one went to Kentucky. I mean, there was...
And so I guess at some point you go, okay, it's because the better team is getting more of the 50-50s, but I don't know that I looked at the run of that game and thought that Kentucky was vastly superior to Missouri. So it's not, you know, sometimes, I mean, the record's going to say, I mean, they're now, what, 6-3, and Missouri's 4-5, so you're going to say, well, the better team got the benefit of those. But I also feel like you're right. You don't normally see a team get all of them in the space of a game, no matter how good they are.
And, you know, it wasn't... kind of when you think of 50-50 plays, it's, you know, like the athleticism of one team makes the play.
Sure.
That's not what was happening.
Right.
Right? It's only Missouri got a penalty coming out of a fight. Right?
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
But, you know, that's the first one. And then a fumble that's called on the field gets overturned. It was very close. We couldn't really tell in the press box when we were all watching the replay. I kind of figured it was a case where it got called a fumble on the field, so it probably stayed that way.
Right, sure.
But it got overturned. A targeting got overturned. And then, of course, the punt that ended the game, or the roughing the kicker that ended the game,
yeah.
Basically.
And that's one we'll have to spend a fair amount of time on, but you're right. Very rarely do you see a play where a team is going to have to punt and it's going to give the other team a chance to win. They screw up the first part of the play horribly. I mean, they snap it 40 yards over his head, and then they still get the benefit of how that play ended up being a good thing for him. So like you say, it's kind of inexplicable when you go, this is a play that everything points to Missouri coming out looking good after this play, and then somehow they don't. And like a lot of people said on Twitter, that's the most Mizzou way to lose a game that I've seen, and they just keep finding a way to do that every week. But it was just kind of a combination of just bad luck, I think, on that play.
Yeah, and in the moment, you know, you're down a score, getting late in the game, and you go, you see the snap go over the punter's head, and you go, well, there's the break. That's what
right.
you needed
yeah.
if you're in Missouri, because now you get the ball, you know, at worst at the other 30, and you've got a couple minutes.
Right.
And, you know, you have a pretty good chance to score and take this game. And then punter picks up the ball, and you go, you know, he kind of looks like he's going to run it. You go, oh, boy, maybe they're going to get it on the one.
Right.
Right? You know, maybe this kid is not going to be able to do much with it, and then just happens to get a kick away.
Right.
And, I mean, we, you know, it was talked about in the press conference after the game, but there's nothing else for a defensive player to do.
Sure. And it's,
that,
and it's
you
hard.
You can't just sit there and, like, let him start running.
And in fairness, it was the play ends up looking like more he's trying to make a tackle because it looks like he's a ball carrier rather than trying to block a punt.
Right.
So that's, I think, what infuriated people, because you end up getting a roughing the kicker call when it doesn't. I mean, and yes, he did end up kicking it, but at the time, the defender was almost in the act of making a tackle because he wasn't trying. It didn't look like he was trying to rough a kicker.
He was trying to tackle
a ball carrier, which at that point you could say, okay, it's a judgment call on whether or not he was. So, yeah, so it was almost like the whole play just conspired awfully against them in every facet, whether it be the interpretation of the rule, which it turns out it looks like they probably did interpret it right, although I saw people going down rabbit holes where there were so many bylaws where you're looking at subsection this of subsection this. So, again, it's just one of those bad luck things, and it's hard to tell a kid, don't try to make a football play when you're trying to make, I mean, you see a loose ball, you just figure that guy's running with it, and you're going to tackle him. So, yeah, it's just ingrained, and at a certain point you can't tell a kid, no, just, you know, back off and just let him run around, because that's not what you're supposed to do.
So the rule set that gained a lot of traction, at least with reporters up in the press box at the time, was on a loose ball like that, if a punter reestablishes themselves and sets up like they're going to kick, then they become a punter.
Right.
Right. And that is not what looked like happened.
Right.
You know, it didn't look like he was, you know, setting up to kick. He just picked it up and kicked. And then the other one was because the punt went straight over his head and straight, or the, not the punt, the snap went straight over his head, straight backward. He was still like
in the tackle box,
40 yards behind, like in the pocket, essentially.
Right.
Right, like you'd have with a roughing the passer.
Exactly.
I guess the pocket just extends all the way down the field.
All the way to South Columbia.
Yeah, so I guess they're very lucky that the ball didn't take an awkward hop 5 yards to the right.
Exactly.
Because then it's a totally different situation.
And again, let's give credit to that kid. Again, punters are kind of the, punters and kickers are kind of the you know, always bad-mouthed as the least athletic guys on the roster.
He made a great play. And he got there first, which, I mean, you have a 10-yard advantage,
exactly.
But he got there
but
first.
But he outran everybody, scooped it up cleanly, got a kick away. I mean, a very athletic play. So credit him for having to force Missouri to have to be perfect on that play because he did what he was supposed to do.
But it's a situation where, for Kentucky, you do about the worst thing you can do on a punt, right, in that situation, and you're rewarded with 15 yards and a first down.
Exactly.
And,
that's kind of one, again, you know, there's no time for it to stick with you, but that's one of those games where it can't stick with you because, like you say, they just were so snake-bitten that game. Yeah. You go, we're going to have to, I imagine they spent a ton of time this week just going, let's put this one behind us, put it behind us, because, you know, that's one of those that could linger, and you don't have time for it to linger since you're now hosting Tennessee, or you're traveling to Tennessee this week, you know, so that's going to be one of those things where you go, you don't have time to worry about that one anymore. That one's got to be done.
You got to think you're probably doing that after every SEC loss at this point. They've all been one score, and every single one of them has like a, oh man. If just this one thing,
right?
Like we've talked about a few times where it's, man, if we just made this one play instead of fumbling, or if we just didn't have this one penalty, and now it's, again, with the penalty, but it's like, man, if that call just was better understood, I guess, or if we understood what the call was and knew to try to block the punt instead of go for a tackle.
Sure.
You know, or something like that, where you just have to keep going, like, well, we just got to move on again.
Right.
And it's like, can't do that every time.
Exactly.
If it happens over and over again, it's going to come back and get you at some point.
And so, again, it's already a tough task. You know, the Volunteers are good this year. Plus, they're a little bit hurt after, you know, kind of laying an egg on national television on the biggest stage we had last weekend, because that 27-13 loss to Georgia wasn't even that close, and they didn't really look that good. So that's the sort of thing where you go, they're going to come out hungry. They're going to come out wanting to make a statement. They're going to want to get that behind them. So you just, I mean, you're catching them at an awful time.
Yeah, I think so. Last week, like, that was set up to be probably the game of the year.
Sure.
Right? The game that's going to determine which of those teams goes to the conference championship.
Right.
Which of those teams is going to stick around in the college football playoff rankings, all of that. Yeah. Tennessee looked bad.
Yeah.
I mean, just, like, they had been so dominant, and so much of the time, it just, Georgia ran them.
And I think the thing that was kind of surprising for you know, after kind of, you know, seasons get storylines, and whether or not they're correct, they gain traction. And the whole point was, you know, well, this year Georgia's doing it with offense rather than defense because they graduated so many people off that great defense. I think some of those Georgia defenders took that to heart last week and said, you know what, we're still pretty good on defense. And they showed it by shutting down a Volunteer offense that had been very, very prolific till that point.
And Georgia's still, I think, the number one scoring defense in the SEC.
Right, right.
So, I mean,
it's funny how narratives take hold when sometimes there's you go, why?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Georgia's scoring defense is still, you know, top three or four in the country and allows about 12 points a game or so.
Exactly.
I mean, it's crazy, you know, because obviously Georgia's been having a great season as well. For them to get jumped by Tennessee in that way going into last week was an interesting story.
Absolutely.
Going into that game. So to have Georgia say, like, we were number one all year. Why did this happen now that the playoff rankings are out? We got to go out and show that those rankings were wrong.
Exactly. Now, with all that being said, it's not like things are dire for Tennessee, because I do feel like, you know,
if they win out, they're probably still in the playoffs.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people, you know, that don't like the SEC will buck against and go, why should they? They just got embarrassed. Now, again, I think that's a Georgia team that can do that to a lot of people, and we'll see what it all still has to shake out. They still have to take care of business, and that first step is Missouri this week. So, you know, you're going to get a team that's a little bit wounded, that's a little bit angry. You're going to have to match them. And I think it's something you and I have talked about both on air and off air this season with this Tiger team is first couple series have got to go great for Missouri this week. I think if things go south quickly, then this game's going to be out of control quick.
Yeah, it's going to have to look a lot like when Missouri played Georgia earlier in the
right.
year, where you're able to get a couple of stops early, you're able to put up a couple of scores quickly, and then you're holding on for dear life after that as you know, a Heisman favorite in Hendon Hooker tries to keep his, you know, chance for a college football championship alive. It's going to have to be a you're up two scores in first quarter, early second quarter, and then you're just holding on.
Right. And the thing that I guess I wonder then is, again, it's a Missouri team that we've just know all year long. We're not quite sure that the offense can consistently do that enough to outscore some people. Case in point, the 17 points last week were just not good enough. Again, things went against them, but still, I feel like that Kentucky team is a team where you could have scored more than 17 real easy. And so I guess my question is, how likely is Missouri able to score more than 17 against this Tennessee team?
I mean, I would say, you know, Kentucky's defense was pretty good coming in. They probably, you know, Missouri could have done more, but I think Kentucky was only allowing about 21 points a game coming in.
Okay.
It was about the same as Missouri. And Tennessee gives up a bit more, which is probably inflated by the 50 against Alabama, right?
Right.
So, I mean, there's obviously, there's ways to get through that defense. Teams have done it. But I just Missouri's offense just isn't Alabama, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not, I don't think that's, you know, it's something crazy to say. I'm pretty sure Missouri hasn't put up 30 points against a Division I opponent.
Right.
Or an FBS opponent, I guess. So, I mean, I think the hope is, you know, 24, 27 or something.
Right, exactly.
You put up 27 points and then you're able to hold Tennessee. Because the strength of Missouri's team, like we've been talking about, is the defense. And the defense is very good.
Yes, and to be fair, you know, we talked a little bit about the one defensive mistake, or it was a more of a special teams mistake than the defense. But we didn't talk about really the defense. They played fantastic last week. And I think it just is a kind of one of those things where I think maybe when we recorded the podcast, we weren't sure that we were going to get a contract extension for the defensive coordinator. We got that, you know, well deserved. And then the defense went out again and played great last week. So again, if there's an identity to this team, it's that defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think we mentioned that it was likely coming because we'd heard rumors. But yeah, Blake Baker got extended for a couple of years. Drinkwitz got extended for another three, announced right before the game Saturday. So, I mean, this, you know, the coaching staff's in place. I guess everybody thinks this is the right direction for the team.
Now. Right.
And yeah, that, I mean, the defense is really good. And
yeah.
Will Levis is, I mean, we've talked about how he struggled coming into the game, but he's probably going to be the third or fourth quarterback taken in the next NFL draft. He's one of the top prospects in college football right now. And he did not play well. He had a couple of throws where, you know, you're sitting there and you just go, wow.
Right.
There was one on the first drive on a wheel that just incredible placement, and you just go, wow. And that last touchdown was wow. But everything else in the game was kind of like, I don't see it. I don't know, you know, if you missed those two plays the rest of the game, you're like,
sure.
This kid?
Yeah,
He's going to go top five in the NFL draft.
Right. And I think it's the flashes, I think, that intrigue people.
Yeah, definitely. You know. But yeah, like, that's what Missouri's defense can do to a kid.
Exactly.
Very good. He's a great quarterback, and the rest of the game was just like, really? That guy?
Yeah. So while I wouldn't be surprised to see that defense rise up again this week and play well, how tough a task is this that they've got in front of them, really?
I'll say Missouri's defense has generally been very good against the rush this year. That's been a big thing for them.
Right.
The couple of games where they've really struggled is with running quarterbacks.
Right.
Obviously, Kansas State ran through them. Florida got, you know, pretty good offense on the ground. And Hendon Hooker can run the ball really, really well.
Right.
So when you've got a quarterback that's able to do that alongside other talented players, it's not just Hendon Hooker that's doing that. It can get the defense really off balance in a way that you don't get if you're Will Levis and you're probably not scrambling for more than 10 yards in a game.
Yeah.
So I think
Yeah, Hooker comes in.
That might be where you get some issues with Missouri's defense.
Yeah, Hooker comes in averaging, you know, like basically 40 yards a game. I think it's 39 points something.
Yeah.
If it's less than that, things are going to be probably okay for Missouri.
Sure.
But I think if it's anything above that, this is going to be that could be where things kind of get out of control in a hurry.
Yeah.
So again, I think it's going to be interesting to see just kind of how, you know, you're able to maybe kind of get this game started, get into a flow, or don't let them get into a flow. It could just be huge because, again, if it becomes the things where, you know, again, it's an 11 o'clock start at Tennessee on CBS, they're going to want to make a quick start. You know they want to. You know they want to make a quick impression after last week's bad impression. So, again, I feel like, gosh, the first couple minutes of this game are just going to be so ginormous.
I completely agree, and I think if Missouri is able to force a couple of turnovers, that'll be the big difference.
Right.
Because you're not going to repeatedly stop Tennessee's offense all game. Especially if you're saying, like, yeah, our offense might only score 20 points. Well, you're not going to hold them to two touchdowns.
Right.
You're just probably not. So, you know, that fumble that got overturned last week against Kentucky is probably the difference. Because if Missouri comes up with that, that's not overturned, then you've got a 3-point lead with, I think it was like 7 minutes left or something, and you've got a chance to drive.
Yeah.
Instead, you give up that go-ahead touchdown a couple plays later. So, you know, it's a case where when Missouri's able to win the turnover battle, it's a big, big sign for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the key this week.
So I guess I'll just flat out ask you, who wins this one today?
Tennessee is so good.
Yeah, right.
You know, I've been incredibly impressed with Missouri's performances pretty much throughout the SEC schedule.
Yeah.
The offense doesn't necessarily impress me, but the defense keeps them in every game to the point where they're all one-score losses.
Right.
So, I'll say that trend continues.
Okay.
And Tennessee is just able to pull it off 31-24.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey. That's McAravey. Thanks for listening.